What is worship? We've just sang some songs, we've just prayed, but what is worship? So for 30 seconds, talk to someone you've come with, someone near you. What's your answer to that question now? What is worship? Great. So hold on to those thoughts, hold on to those conversations. Perhaps you might, as you go out handing out leaflets later, continue those conversations, and perhaps, hopefully, some of the things that we talk about and in our readings today will help to inform and grow our idea of what worship is. Worship's one of these, what is worship is one of these questions that I think perhaps preparing this week has been more about me and me understanding worship a bit better than perhaps for any of you. So if this is helpful for you, then I hope it is, and I trust that God wants to speak. This year, we are talking about growth and transformation. It's a season, it's a year of investing in growth, in ourselves and in us as a church. And one of our key verses is from 1 Corinthians 3, which is, "But God has made it to grow. Different people planted, different people watered, but it's God that makes it grow." And we're going to spend the rest of this academic year looking at and thinking about some of the foundational truths and some of the freedom issues that stop us growing and stop us living as we're meant to be and how God has designed us to be. But alongside some of those issues, you may remember Chris talking about the swimming pool analogy that he gave us of the different lanes and the environments in which we can grow. And we've talked a bit about gatherings and coming here, and that helps, and we've talked about small groups. But I want us to think a little bit today about worship and how that creates an environment in which God can grow us. So with that, our reading today is from Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." I urge you, brothers and sisters, to live as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So we're just very briefly just going to have a look at what worship is, what this passage teaches, and has said as two interactions that Jesus had on this. Firstly, this passage and the flow of this passage. The last bit of it talks about God's will. To test and approve his good, pleasing, and perfect will for us as a community, for us as a church, for us as a city. What is his good, pleasing, and perfect will? But that follows on from a transforming of our minds, not conforming to the thinking and patterns of this world, but a transforming, a re-understanding of how life and everything works. That transforming word, the metamorphosis, the change, the re-understanding. So his will flows out of our understanding being changed and being conformed to his kingdom and not the patterns of this world. But that flows out of worship. And a worship that responds to God's mercy, his undeserved merit and favor. Worship is the environment in which our thinking and our outworking is transformed so that our thoughts are his thoughts, so that we can understand and know his good and perfect will. So what is worship? We could talk a lot about music, we talk about styles of music, we talk about church services and gatherings and what they all mean. But simply put, worship is when we give something worth. Worthship to something or someone. John Piper's quote says, "True worship is a valuing and a treasuring of God above all things." So my first question, what do we give worth to? Money, time, and effort are good angles to think about that on. Where do we give our worth? Worship is a valuing or a treasuring of God above all things. Seeking to put Him first in all that we do. Hebrews 13 says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruits of our lips that openly profess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Someone else summarized that by saying, we worship God authentically when we know Him truly and treasure Him duly. The acts of our mouth and the acts of our hands and our feet. Worship is more than singing songs and praying and being by ourselves with God. Worship is the daily decision to put God first in everything. It's a choice as we get ready for the day, at our work desk, in our classroom. It's a choice whether people see us or whether it's just us and God by ourselves. Webster's dictionary definition says, worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. So in that place of submission, whether we feel like it or not, everything we can do becomes an act of worship, including going out to the streets later on with the flyers to hand out through our doors. It's our act of worship to honor God. But let's just very briefly look at two passages where Jesus interacts in this and talks about worship. And the first one I was reminded of was when Jesus clears the temple. He's entered Jerusalem and triumphal entry, and then he goes to the temple and he clears it out and he gets rid of the money changers and he says, "My house will be a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers." And I was like, God, what's that got to do with worship? He's clearing the place of worship, but what's that got to do with worship? And as I read it, I felt like there's a we have very little sympathy for the money changers. They're making money out of people coming to worship God. They needed to be kicked out. But there was something about that phrase, the den of robbers. You're turning it into a den of robbers. What were they robbing? Were they charging, overcharging? But it just got me thinking. Perhaps there's an element to that of which they turned worship. They were turning worship into a consumer thing. That the people came not with the things that they had already prepared, not the things of the field and the things that they carried with them into worship as God designed it. But they came and just bought when they got there. And that disconnect from the things that we do and the things that we are in the wider world. And not bringing those, the first fruits, the things to bring a sacrifice, that we bring them into that place of worship. I think that speaks into our sense of changing the name to gatherings. That we gather as people, but we gather the things that God has given to us. That we gather our day-to-day, our daily worship, and we come together and raise a voice together of all that God is doing. But I wonder whether Jesus was challenging that disconnect from the life out there to what we bring into our gatherings and into places of worship. The second thing, very briefly, is John 4. In the midst of a conversation with a Samaritan woman, it almost feels like the woman in the midst of the conversation is feeling very uncomfortable with the conversation, so tries to escape by switching the question and changing the conversation, and she asks about worship. And she asks just lost it there. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but Jesus claimed that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus replied, taking away the conversation around a place, is it a mountain or a temple? And bringing it and saying, yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in the spirit and truth. And they are a kind of worshippers. They are a kind of worshippers the Father seeks. Worship is both an issue of the head and the heart. It is strong affection for God, rooted in truth. Truth about the Father and the Son. It was great to sing today. I believe in God the Father. Our worship is grounded in who He is. Truth about the Father and the Son and the partnership in rescuing sinners. Worship is real in the heart. It is our spirit connecting with God's spirit. It is extravagant and it is raw. It is a choice in the midst of difficult circumstances. It is a delight full of praise and a rawness that flows out of pain. In this place of submission, our lives are an act of worship. But at the very beginning of this Romans passage, it starts with therefore. And the question you always ask, therefore, is what's it there for? It's a response. Our worship is a response to what has happened in this particular passage that's been outlined in Romans already. It starts with God's expression of love for us. The Apostle John writes, we love in 1 John 4, we love because he first loves us. Worship is a response to his extravagant love. Not a mechanism for earning or trying to seek his attention. It's a response to all that he has done. And so as we think about worship and as we lead into this next season and series are looking at those issues of foundation and freedom. I think the Father's invitation to us this morning is to know afresh his extravagant love for us. That our worship that gathers together and our worship in our everyday life, in everything that we do, putting him first, flows out of his extravagant love. So I'm going to pray for us in a minute, but I want to just reread Romans again. But this time, using the Message translation. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. Your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognizing what he wants from you and quickly responding to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering of worship. Let's just take a moment to bring that to God. What is he speaking to you this morning? It may be this morning you just need to know afresh the extravagant love of a Heavenly Father. And as I pray for us, I'm just going to ask us, if we're able to, just to stand and just to offer ourselves and offer perhaps the challenge or the encouragement or the invitation of the Father today to come and to meet with us. And it may be in that invitation you just want to place out your hands in front of you just to say that you're open to who? To God. You're welcoming His extravagant love. Father, thank you that you love each and every one of us. Thank you that we love because you first loved us. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would come and fill each one of us. Fill us with a knowledge of that extravagant love afresh.